Yea, my people, and I would say unto thee this night, did not I send my revelation unto my prophets? When I wanted to speak to Moses, did not I come to him in a fiery bush? When I wanted to lead my people forth, was I not a cloud by night and a fire by day? And I say unto you that I desire to reveal myself unto thee also. For yea, I desire to use you. Yea, I desire to use you to further my kingdom, to go forth in my name. And I say unto you this night that I will give you revelations of myself. Yea, I will speak to you in dreams. Yea, I will speak to you by the prophets. Yea, I will send my rhema unto you. For yea, know that I, the Lord thy God, am making a shift. Yea, know that I, the Lord thy God, am making a change. For yea, my bride shall come forth, and she shall be arrayed in royal robes. Yea, she shall not just be a remnant, but she shall be the glory of God. For yea, I say unto you that I have prepared a people, not only in this place, but around the world, that they might go forth, and that they might speak forth the things of my name. And I say unto you that if you will walk before me in righteousness, if you will walk before me in sanctification, yea, will not I justify thee? Yea, will not I cause thee to see the things of God? Yea, I say unto you, look up into the heavens, for yea, thou shalt see angels going forth. For yea, I have an army, saith God. Yea, an army of angels that go forth to work for thee. Yea, my people, I would say unto you, yea, let not the Lord thy God go forth without the anointing of his people. For I say unto you that I am the anointed one, but I desire to anoint you. Yea, I shall send fresh oil upon you. I shall send the anointing upon your feet. I shall send the anointing upon your mouth. And yea, as you walk forth in the name of the Lord God Almighty, I say unto you that I am will not disappoint you, but yea. Yea, my people, I will cause you to be a mighty army before those of the world. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that I am the Lord thy God. Yea, look unto me. Let thy heart be set upon the Lord thy God. Let your mind be stayed upon me, and you will see the glory of the Lord thy God.
Let's go to John chapter 5. I want to talk about hearing, hear and be healed. I believe God wants all men well. I honestly do. Because he wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Come on now. There's no sickness in heaven. That's the will of God. You want to know the will of God, see what heaven's like.
Yes.
That's the will of God. What we experience down here is not the fullness of the will of God. But I do believe the same Jesus. He comes to heal. He comes to set free. And if we'll believe, we'll see the glory of God.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And see, what I don't, you know, what I've also realized is people come and they get what they expect. If they expect prayer, they get prayer. If they expect healing, they can get healing. Come on.
Amen.
But John chapter 5, let's look at verse 39. It says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's these that bear witness of me. And you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. What I found out many times is people know the scriptures, but it hasn't led them to the healer. They know the healing scriptures, but they refuse to come to the healer. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. It's one thing to have a meeting about him. There's another thing about experiencing him. Come on now. You know, and I believe we're here tonight to experience him. At least I am. Come on. And I'm going to have so much fun. It's going to be fun enough for all of us. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. And how many of you understand we're going to laugh a little bit tonight because laughter is good medicine. There's no sad Holy Ghost. Come on now. And if you don't think God has a good sense of humor, look to the right of you, look to the left of you, look in the mirror. You're all funny. Come on. We all are. If you take yourself too seriously, you're going to be sick. You know, and you won't be any fun to be around anyway. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. It says, but the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and be healed of their sickness. They came for two purposes, to hear and be healed. Why? Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by the word of God. They came to him to hear. See, it's not coming to a man to hear. We need to come to see Jesus and hear. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, too many people will come and put their faith in a man instead of put their faith in God. In John chapter 6, verse 17, it says, he descended with them and stood on a level place, and there was a great multitude of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon, and who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. See, that was the practice, to come and to hear and be healed. And like I said, you know, many times God's always looking for is some faith on our part. Come on. Do you have enough faith that God can see it? You know, in Mark chapter 2, when they took the paralytic man to the house of Jesus, and there was no room in the house. Most people, if they went to a healing meeting and it was packed out, especially with a sick man, would have left and said, "We tried." Come on. But that wasn't their style. And I'll guarantee the paralytic man had faith too, because he allowed his friends to take him up on the roof. They opened up the roof, dropped him down. That takes faith. Come on now. Little to the right, little to the left. Watch out for Myrtle. Come on now. Hey, you know. It dropped him right in front of Jesus and said, "Jesus, see in their faith." Come on. Something about that. I was thinking about that, you know, one of the great, you know, we've had a lot of great miracles. One of the greatest thrills I have is many of the churches I go to, there are people there that God has allowed me to participate in their miracle. You know, people that should be dead but are alive. How many of you in here have personally either seen or had a miracle? God is alive and well.
Amen.
You know, I can put both hands and both feet up.
Yeah.
I've had more lives than a cat. Come on now. And I was thinking about this little girl in Kansas. I was preaching there. In the last meeting, she came in. She had a club foot. She was a beautiful little girl, but her foot was very, very deformed. And she was in first grade. I remember that. And I walked in, and back in those days, we always wore suits. I'm glad those days are over for me. Some of you don't, you know. I think a noose around a man's neck is a woman's idea. That's why I think about ties. Come on now, you know. But still, you know, this little girl came up to me as I was entering the sanctuary. She pulls on my coat. And she looks up at me and she says, "I'm supposed to be healed tonight." And I said, "Yes, you are." I said, "Do you want me to pray for you now?" She said, "I'll tell you when." she was a spunky little thing. I enjoy spunkiness. You know? And she, you know, what I did not know is she told all her class on Friday that she was going to walk in totally healed on Monday. She went out to a shoe store and bugged her parents so much that they got two normal shoes for her. I mean, you know, God saw her faith. Come on now. It was very visible faith. And I'll never forget that night, because I preached and there was such a strong anointing and anticipation, and we saw some miracles. And at the very end of the service, she hadn't come up yet. And I was almost afraid to ask her. She put me in my place or something. But finally she came up at the very end of the service, tugged on my coat and said, "Now." And I asked the Holy Spirit what to do. Because when I found out about Jesus, he didn't do it the same way every time. Sometimes he put mud in people's eyes. Come on now. I mean, he had ways of doing things. He didn't do everything the same way. You know, and that's our problem. We get into one way of doing things, and sometimes God wants to do it a way we've never done before. But I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit said, have her sit in a chair up on the platform. Take off her sock, because she didn't wear a shoe, but she wore a sock with the extreme club. And he said, command that foot to grow. And I expected to see a creative miracle in front of my eyes. And I at first spoke with great boldness, but nothing happened. Then I pleaded a little bit. Nothing happened. And it went on and on and on. And you could just feel the atmosphere deflate. And, you know, I put on a bold face, but, you know, there was disappointment in my spirit. You know, the only person who wasn't disappointed was the little girl. Everyone else, you could feel it. And, you know, after I prayed for her, she kept saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I said, yes, you are, honey. But I was, you know, my mind is going, oh, I wouldn't want to be the parents when she wakes up on Monday. And she went home, and she's singing in the car, and her parents are depressed. She goes up to her bedroom, and she's so excited. They got up early. They couldn't sleep that night, but they got up early, made a big breakfast for her to try to console her. When she came down the stairs, she was wearing her new shoes with perfect feet. You know, why? Because she expected and God honored it. What I found out is many times we get what we expect. Come on now. And we have got to retrain ourselves to expect what God said. Come on. Does this make sense? Because if we don't, we won't see the glory of God. If we don't believe for it, we won't see it. See, I've learned something. You know, healing is just part of the package. And healing is not what God does. It's who He is. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. See, we still serve a healing Jesus. And what bothers me is a lot of the churches have pulled off the miraculous. And you know, we're so, you know, it's almost like we explain why God won't do it instead of why the scripture says He already has. We're not even trying to get God to heal us. By His stripes we were healed. See, many people, when I hear people say, Jesus, heal me, I say, you know, the Lord had told me, He said, they don't have a revelation. I did that 2,000 years ago. You're tapping into an inheritance of something that's already been purchased. Come on now. You know, literally, by His stripes, you are healed. By His stripes, you were healed. We have a tense problem. You know, God, you know, we're trying to convince God to heal us. He's trying to convince us that He did 2,000 years ago and just to believe and tap into it. And that's a danger. Because honestly, there's a subtle form of unbelief where we're begging God instead of believing God. Come on now. And, when, you know, people say, well, what happens when you know, having done all the stand, you stand. You know, sometimes you have to stand when you don't understand. Come on. But Exodus 15, 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. See, the answer is always the tree. The answer to everything you need is a tree. It's Calvary. It's Calvary. When you're suffering, fellowship with His suffering, because He suffered to alleviate your suffering. By His stripes that were laid on Him on the tree, you were healed. Come on, the blood that was shed on the tree, come on, paid for all your sins. Everything you need goes back to Calvary. It's what took place at Calvary and the power of the resurrection. Come on now. Jesus paid the price. He said, it's all done. Everything you need is finished. It's a finished work on my end of it. He said, I'm not going to do it. I already did it for you. Come on now. That's good news. That will preach. Come on now. He showed them a tree. They put it in the water. Guess what? That tree will make the bitter water sweet. But in verse 26, he said, if you will give earnest and heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. I mean, that is shouting ground right there. He is the Lord our healer. See, literally, he is still the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He knows how to do the Rapha thing. Come on now. You know, when the doctors say one thing, there's a report. There's a different report. Whose report will we believe? You know, I love doctors, except when they can't help me. You know, I still love them. I just can't, you know, I'm not going to believe them. Because if I believed them, I'd be dead. If I believed them, my son would be a vegetable instead of a genius. If I believe, see, I know they're telling me a truth, but they're not telling me the truth. Because the truth says, by his stripes I was healed. Come on now. And our freedom, you shall know the truth, not a truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Come on now. When the truth overrides all other truth, then you are totally free indeed. Come on now. Does this make sense? And we must begin to, and people say, well, don't you ever fight sickness and disease? I say, uh-huh. In fact, honestly, you need to be grounded in healing the older you get. Because I spend time talking at my body. It talks back at me. Sometimes when I wake up, it starts yelling at me when I start moving. And, you know, I played pro ball, and there's some, you know, you do things to your body, and, everyone was prophesying I would never be able to walk or after a certain time or because of all the different surgeries, and I just had to not listen to that. You know, I still don't totally listen to what the doctor said. Well, you shouldn't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. And I'm doing everything I can do. And there are times my body, when I first wake up in the morning, acts just like they said it would. But I keep talking now. We have a conversation. It yells, I'm sick. I yell, you're healed. Come on now. It says, stay in bed. And I say, we got to move. Come on. How many of you understand what I'm saying? One of the ways you get healed is to out-talk your body. Come on now. Don't buy into it. So many people buy into society. When you get to a certain age, I don't believe you have to be that way. I don't believe you have to. I made the decision when I was when I saw Peter Pan as a little kid, I decided I was never going to grow up. I never have. You know, I don't care. My body may look older than it, used to, but I'm still a little kid. Trust me. Trust me. Sometimes I'm childlike, sometimes I'm childish, but I'm, at least I'm fun. Come on. You know, because grumpy old man, I decided I don't want to be a grumpy old man. Come on. I want to be just a happy, Because when I found out something, when you're full of life, everyone knows it. And what did God say? When you preach the kingdom, he told them in Matthew 10, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Said, these signs shall follow them that believe. It's hard to follow a parked car. Two-thirds of God's name is go. Without the go, you have the duh. What are we going to do? Duh, duh, duh. God says, hey, I want to do something, but I need a body. I need somebody that will believe me. I need somebody that will believe me. You know, why not expect a miracle? You know, one of the greatest privileges I've had in my life was to be associated with one of the greatest generals in the history of the church, a man named Oral Roberts. And my wife wrote for Oral for 10 years, and, you know, if Oral as much as belched, we had a tape on it. You know, I mean, my wife traveled a lot of times with him, did a lot of things, wrote the Daily Blessing Devotional Guide, wrote, you know, Is Anything Bothering You column by Oral Roberts, wrote some of his books. You know, I felt like I was married to Oral. Thank God she didn't look like Oral. I knew why Oral could hear so well. He had like two satellite dishes on the side of his head. They called ears. It was true, man. I've never seen anyone like that. But he could hear clear. I mean, he just was tuned in. But we would work many times. One of the highlights of my early days was the partner seminars at ORU. And people would come in, thousands of people would come in for a weekend there. And the last service was the service Oral would lay hands on everybody in the place that wanted it, lay hands on the sick, and it was a miracle meeting. Everything was geared towards the miracle meeting. And I had the privilege of being one of the people that walked with Oral when he laid hands on people, many times in the wheelchairs. I was one of the ones that he would then say, do something you couldn't do before. Because faith without works is dead. And he would tell me and another person, help lift them out of the chair. You know, if they were willing to attempt it. And it was amazing, almost every seminar, how many wheelchairs were left behind. Or how many times we'd see the people pushing the wheelchairs out that came in riding in them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everywhere he went, he healed. He healed. The only time he couldn't heal was because of the people's unbelief. There were places he could do no mighty works, but it wasn't because it wasn't his will. It was the people refused to believe it was his will. Come on now. See, healing is the children's bread. We must begin to believe once again that believers can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I when I was preaching in St. Louis, Missouri, I was doing a big tent meeting there. And I'll never forget that because God gave me specific instructions that were usually different on this particular tent revival. And he said, I want you to do a youth meeting a couple days before. And he said, I want you to train them to lay hands on the sick. And he said, I don't want you laying hands on anybody during the tent revival. Let them do it. He said, many of them are going to be used in the miraculous for the first time in their life. And I basically trained them to believe when they lay hands on it, the healing power of God would flow. Gave them scriptures, gave them experiences. But I'll never forget the night under the tent because one of the little boys there was a seventh grader that, you know, looked like a fourth grader, you know, the little tiny seventh grader type. Looked like a little kid. And his mom was a deaf mute. And when we gave the altar call for people that needed a miracle, she came forward. And her son was the one that laid hands on her. And the first word she ever heard in her life was her son's prayers. Wow. God replaced two eardrums. By the time we left the meeting, she could say some words. By the time we got there next year, she talked like everybody else.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Dude, I guarantee you, the whole place became unglued. I love it when God, it's all God. It's all God. See, we always think, well, it's Brother Roberts, but no, it's Jesus. It's just Jesus. Come on now. It's just, you know, sometimes the best person to get prayed to pray for you is a little kid who doesn't know it doesn't work. Come on now. Sometimes they're the best ones to pray for you. You know, not the ones that have all the reasons why it shouldn't. Come on. Does this make sense? You know, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. I think the people almost have to get born again to get stupid. Before you're saved, you know sickness is not good. Then people get saved. Oh, God's teaching me. Well, I'm going to help them teach you. Where's your medicine cabinet? Let's get rid of all the things that are keeping back the lesson. I said, you know better than that. You know, when I found out sickness and disease, it doesn't teach you anything other than you better trust God because that's all you can do. But it's not God's will, because if it was God's will, I mean, honestly, what parent would put sickness and disease on their kid to teach them anything? And you wonder why people wonder if God's good or not. He's good all the time. He's good all the time. He's not the author of sickness and disease. And be honest with you, he's not using the devil to teach you anything. You know, God doesn't do anything that's evil. He doesn't even participate in evil, and he doesn't hire a hitman to go get you. Come on now. So, you know, settle the fact. Hey, if you're fighting something, it's the enemy. Come on. And God wants you well. He paid not only for the sin, every sin that would ever be done on the Calvary, he also paid for every sickness, every disease. He became sin with our sin. He became a curse. Everything that came in because of sin, he paid for on Calvary by becoming sin with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's good news preaching. You know, he's delivered us from the curse of the law. That doesn't mean we don't have to fight it, but a curse causeless doesn't alight. We should be Teflon Christians. Things will hit us, but they shouldn't stop us. Come on, they don't stick. They don't stick. They may be there for a little while, but eventually we can shake them off. Come on. You know, it's time that we begin to believe what God said and believe the report of the Lord. See, the Bible says, you know, don't forget any of his benefits. He forgives all our sins, but he heals all our diseases. All of them. You know, to God, cancer or a common cold, same thing to him. Well, this is the big one. Well, not big to who? You know, it always amazes me. I have so many people that have come to our meetings in the fourth stage of cancer. I have one lady that I'll see in next month when I'm preaching in Pennsylvania. She was a nurse, fourth stage of liver cancer. In fact, she said, Woody, she said, you were my point of contact. She said it was like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, I knew you represented the point, I believe. She said, I knew if I could get to your meeting, I would receive my healing. I've been places where God told me, go to a certain place. And I knew that was my moment for my manifestation. You know? It wasn't that person was, but that person was connected. And it was my place where I could release my faith. And she said, she had to use her faith. Several times she almost died before I got there. But that night she made it. And I prayed for her, and I didn't know. I didn't know what, you know, everyone was kind of, it was a wild night. People laid out everywhere, power of God's hitting everywhere. A lot of people screaming. So she said, "I thought you heard me screaming." I said, "Everyone was screaming." But when she went back to the doctors, they found no form of cancer.
Praise God.
And, you know, that was like 6 years ago. It took them 3 years. They took her blood every week because they said there's impossible. They said, "This is impossible." And for 3 years, she had to do blood tests to prove that she had no cancer. Now she's officially cancer-free. Why? Because she used the point of contact. I believe we need to get our expectation back up.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
I mean, what's impossible with man is possible with God.
Right.
You know, I have seen the most amazing things in my life. I don't know about you. I've had the privilege of seeing things that don't make sense. But God can do things that don't make sense. I was preaching in church one time. This lady came up to me. And she said, "I want to have a baby. Will you pray for me?" Well, she looked old, so I figured that was the problem. You know? But I knew Abraham and Sarah, so we at least have a biblical precedent. But first thing that I had to ask, "Are you married?" You know, I'm not participating in it. Come on now. And she said, "Yes." And she almost slapped me when I said it, but she said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, so you want to have a child?" I said, "I can agree with you." She said, "There's just one little problem." I said, "Okay, tell me." She said, "I had my uterus removed several years ago." I pulled back a little bit and said, "Okay, God, what do we do here?" And this is what the Lord said. "Ask her if she can believe. And you agree with her." I said, "I'll do it." I said, "Ma'am," I said, "you believe God's going to do this?" She said, "That's why I'm here." I said, "Okay, I'll agree with you. If you're crazy enough to ask, I'm crazy enough to agree with you. Come on." I prayed for her, came back the next year, and I got a chance to dedicate her twins. Twins! The whole community was talking. Because God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond. God loves to shock people with good. Shock people with good. He loves it. When people, they say, "What are you doing? You know, it can't be you." Well, it is. See, in Psalm, when it says that God, you know, healing is part of the package.
Yes.
When you receive Christ, you receive the healer.
Yes.
The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and wants to quicken your mortal bodies.
Yes.
Come on. Think about that. I started, you know, I remember I was preaching up in New York. And there was this lady that was always outside the church, and she'd been out there for 25 years. Everyone knew her. She hung around outside the church, never been in the building. She was a crippled lady, and she would have a walker and drag herself on the walker. That night I went to preach, and she came in the building. And I was preaching, and when I gave the altar call, I had already prayed for the sick before that. We didn't see much happen. Honestly, not a whole lot of manifestation. Part of it is because of people's expectation. I knew it. They wanted prayer. That's what they got. They didn't want healing. They wanted prayer. So I laid my hands on them. They have some finger marks they can go home with. Don't shout me down. You know, they didn't expect it to work, so it didn't. Come on. So you know, she comes forward, and first thing she asked me, she said, I'm Jewish. Is it okay? Can I receive Christ? I said, well, he's Jewish. He said, you can receive him as your Messiah. I said, you know, honestly, everyone who received Christ becomes a Jew. I said, yes, you may. So I led her in the prayer to receive Jesus. And then she looks at me. She said, is healing really part of the package? She knew more than they did. They've been seeing this faith church for years. Probably had notes upon notes upon notes. She heard the message one time, but her eyes were open, her ears were open. She said, is healing part of the package? She was a true Jew. She wanted the whole thing. Come on now. That's true. Hey. We should. That problem is most of us are not really truly true Jews yet. Even though God's put it in our heart, circumcised our heart. If we were, we'd want the whole thing. Amen. Come on. And she said, is it really part of the package? I said, yes. She said, then lay hands on me. I laid hands on her. Power of God hit her. She flew back. Her walker flew one direction. She flew the other. She's laying on the ground. Eventually, as she begins to move, the well-trained ushers came, first got her walker to take back to her, help her up, put her back on the walker like they always did with everyone else. Well, they hand her the walker, and she said, what do I need that for? And she throws it across the stage. And there's someone that was sitting in there. He said, holy blankety blank blank. Did you see that? And this is a person been in the church for years. Well, next thing I know, all the people I had prayed for earlier were running back up to be re-prayed for. Because all of a sudden, you know, now they were expecting something. Now they were coming to get healed. And we saw so many miracles that night. We saw things that people had on their lives for 30 years, 20, 30 years of conditions, just totally supernaturally removed because the expectation got to a place where God could do something. Come on now. You know, I want God to begin to shock us and actually, you know, God's desires that you be in health. You prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. See, you can get healed by other people's faith, but you stay healed by yours. Most cases, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, by the way. But sometimes you can get healed on someone else's faith. Because people say, well, how come they received a healing, but then they lost it? I'll tell you when they lost it. They lost it when the symptoms tried to come back on, and they agreed with the symptoms. That's right. A pain comes back on their body. Oh, here it goes again. I thought I was healed. Come on. A double-minded man doesn't receive anything. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, say, what happens? I'll guarantee you, most cases, you're going to have to fight off some stuff. You're going to have to say no. You ain't doing that. I'm not signing for that package again. Come on now. I'm the healed. And I'm not saying deny. You know, we don't deny when some. But, you know, you deny it's right to rule in you. You know, you speak to the mountain so you may. You know, I don't have any problem finding out what I'm dealing with if I don't know what it is. Because you speak to the mountain. But you command it to leave. Don't speak about it. You speak to it. Amen. And how many of you understand, if you want to operate in healing, find someone who got healed of the thing that you're fighting. Find their testimony, because God will do it again and again and again and again. You know, I have a friend, one of my favorite friends in the world. She says, sweetest lady, has more energy than anyone I've ever been around in my life. And she's a couple years older than I am, which means she's a very young lady. But, you know, when she was 32 years old, I believe it was 32 or 34, she contracted MS, multiple sclerosis. to such a degree she was bedridden. She was saved, but she didn't know Jesus as the healer. She didn't know Jesus still healed today. And she basically had three small children that would never have a mom that was active if the doctor was true. Someone gave her back in those days, it was a reel-to-reel tape by Brother Hagin. And was talking, and Brother Hagin just gave his testimony, which he gave a lot. You know, these guys, there's something about testimonies. Trust me, they always work if they're yours. They always do. Because, you know, when you tell them, one of the reasons God did it for you is so he could do it for others. Come on now. So he would talk about when he was on the bed of affliction, dying with a heart disease as a teenager. And he opened his Bible, and he read Mark 11:22, have the faith of God. Then it talked about that if you, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have it. It said you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. It's talked about speaking to the mountain, not about the mountain. And he began to read these faith things, and it came alive on the inside of him. And, he was a Baptist boy who didn't know anything about healing. In fact, most of the people that prayed over him were just basically never prayed anything that would get him well. They prepared him to die. But the more Brother Hagin did that, the more he said, God, if this is true, if I can have whatsoever, I want to live. I want to live. Lord, if you're by your stripes, I'm healed. And that we honestly can use our faith to remove mountains, then this disease can't stay in my body. So he began to believe that. And and God raised him up from the bed of affliction. And my friend, here she is, she wore out the tape. When she first heard it, she said, God, is that even possible? And then Brother Hagin went on to different healing scriptures. By his stripes were healed. And what Jesus did went about healing all manner of sickness and disease. All manner. Didn't say he just healed coughs. All manner. Every type. Come on. Many places he went. They all were healed. And the more she listened to it, the more a picture on the inside changed from being a crippled lady to seeing herself. She was a track star in high school. Ran cross country. She said she sat there in the bed, and the more she did, she kept saying to her family, I'm going to run again. I'm going to run marathons again. And they thought she was crazy. And then she started doing things she couldn't do before. She started moving her legs and got a little bit of motion to such a degree she fell out of bed. And when she fell out of bed, her family came to try to put her back in bed, and she said no. And they thought she was crazy, and she said, I had to learn how to crawl. But I believed I would run again. She said, I remember the day I got to the place where I could crawl. I remember the day I pulled myself up on the kitchen cabinet. Could stand. She said it was a 2-year process of holding on to the word, holding on to that picture. After a while, her family started believing it could be possible because she was doing everything the doctor said she couldn't. This last year, she finished the Boston Marathon for the 23rd time she's run it. You can't convince her it's not God's will to heal. You can't convince her. And when she preaches, and she does, she teaches some women's conferences, she won't even stand. She'll run the pews. She's in her 60s, and she's running up and down the pews. Why? Because she can. Come on now, because she can. You know, I love it when people begin to get stirred on the inside. Come on. Sometimes you have to hear about Jesus. Sometimes you have to continue to hear and hear and hear, and one day faith comes. Come on. See, when the devil attacks your body, he's trying to take a place that's not his. And people lose their healing when symptoms come back and they begin to open up their mouth. And start agreeing with the devil instead of agreeing with God. Come on. healing and health are tied to the Word of God. And out of your heart flow the issues of life. Get in the Word, it's healing to all your flesh, all your flesh, all your flesh. The more you get in the Word, the more it's healing to all your flesh. We must begin to get stirred again. The willingness of God to heal is obvious. Even when the leper came up to him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. He said, I'm willing. See, most people don't doubt God's power. They doubt God's willingness. Which tells me they don't know him very well. Come on. He wants you more healed than you want to be healed. He wants you every whit whole. Come on now. Every whit whole. Jesus paid a tremendous price for your healing. Does this make sense? Don't become double-minded. God's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, will he not do it? Has he spoken, will not come to pass. You know, we must believe that God, let God be true and every man a liar. There have been times I've gotten people angry because I wouldn't agree with them. Because what they were saying was contrary to God. See, I'll be honest with you, I always believe it's God's will to heal. I always do. And I'd rather have someone like me praying for me than someone who said, Lord, if it be thy will, maybe you will, maybe you won't, maybe you will. But whatever you want to do, God, and God's, I mean, he's not the author of confusion. Yes. Right. Settle the issue. Settle the issue. Everyone I pray for. Now, there are times I'll come in, and I learned this from, spending some time with Brother Roberts and Brother Hagin. I'll go in and say, okay, what are you believing for? Because, there are times, when people are going into surgery, there are times I've gone through surgery. I'm not against doctors. In fact, there are times I'll pray, and God said, hey, surgery's okay. Just believe me in the midst of it. There's other times when I was due, right now, my doctor laughs. He said, you're not supposed to be able to walk. I have like three things I'm supposed to have surgeries for. And honestly, they're no longer affecting me. I haven't gone back to see if it's the manifestation has come or not. I don't care. Because God said, just stand in faith, and I'm able to operate now. When I first was standing, I couldn't even stand. I had to sit in faith. Didn't believe I could stand in faith. Come on now. But now I'm able to move and run and do some things that I wasn't able to do before. But at that case, God said, don't go through the medical science. He said, trust me. It's important you listen to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, literally, by his stripes, you are healed. You got to believe the integrity of his word. The great physician is better than all the good physicians. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? When Dr. Jesus makes a house call, something supernatural happens. When Jesus is in the house, people get delivered. Yes. People get set free. Yes. When you preach the kingdom of God, then the power and the glory comes in. When the King of glory is in your midst, come on. Something good begins to happen to you. Come on. Expect a miracle. See, mix the promise with faith. Do something. See, the power many times is present. Even tonight, the power is present to heal. The question is whether you can turn the power switch on. The sad thing is faith is the switch that accesses the power. You can walk in the light in your house and say, I don't understand why the lights don't work. Well, if you don't flip the switch, the power was there all along. The ability was there all along. But you had to do the easy part. The hard part was already taken care of. That's the way faith is. Faith is the switch that connects you to the power source. Come on. God says, it's already yours. You don't have to beg them. You can believe them. See, all sickness and disease are part of the curse. We've been delivered from the curse. I believe we're going to come to the place where, you know, like Peter, our shadow can fall on people. They'll be healed. I have actually stayed in people's homes where, while I was there, total healing. Total healing. While I was there, in fact, they didn't even have to do medication. When I left the home, the problem was I knew how to use my faith. I was trying to train them to use theirs. I have relatives every time. I mean, they're in such depression, but when I come, all depression leaves. They love it when I visit because all the clouds go. Problem is, when I leave, they take the clouds back. Come on. I just believe that. I believe there's nothing too difficult for God. Sometimes healing goes, it's manifest as you go. Just like that little girl, it wasn't manifest in our sight. But as she went, she stayed in faith and got it. There are times I've had people lay hands on me. I had to remind myself, they laid hands on me in faith, I shall recover. They laid hands on me in faith, I shall. So recovery's working in his body. I didn't feel anything different. But guess what? I recovered. I love it when we pray for people. And, you know, just recently I had the privilege. I came back to a church, and I had prayed for this little two-year-old girl with it. And I remember the parents came up and they were heartbroken because they had just gotten a doctor's report that Friday, and I came on Sunday to preach. And they came up and they were told their daughter had an inoperable brain tumor. And within 4 months, and she's such a beautiful little girl, within 4 months she was going to die. And they brought her up to me and said, is there anything you can do for you? Her, and I said, there's something Jesus can do for her, and already has, by the way. But let's believe God. What I've learned is I don't heal, Jesus heals. But I am an instrument. You know, people say, do you feel responsible? I only feel responsible to believe. It's all I can. And I can't explain why, what takes place unless I know the people well. Sometimes I can. But a lot of times I can't explain why, you know, we'll pray and miracles will break out over here and here's someone that doesn't get theirs. It's not manifest. I don't understand that. I'm not going to be tormented by it anymore. I can't. But I prayed for that little girl and all I felt was my heart go out to her, you know, and that, you know, I didn't know much, and I came back to preach. It was 4 years since I've been there, and first one to meet me at the door was the little girl, and she's 6 years old now. And she said, did you hear about my story? I said, honey, tell me, please tell me. She said, you prayed for me when I was a little girl, and I was supposed to die. She said, you said, I shall live and not die. I said, I remember that. And I grabbed hold of her and said, you shall live and not die. You'll proclaim. She said, when I went back to doctors, she said, they took picture of my head. That's the way she talked. Took picture of my head, no more growth. She said, I'm more normal than anyone. I said, honey, you are more normal, you're more cute, you are, you know, and God is so good. I love that. I love that. That's what the church is about. The church is about connecting heaven to earth. Come on now. So God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the church is about drug addicts coming and being delivered by the power of God. The church is about alcoholics getting delivered by the power of God. The church is about people with no hope getting their healing, their deliverance, whatever they need. And how many of you understand some sickness and disease is a spirit? Not all of them are. I remember one time, you know, in Luke 13, it talks about this daughter of Abraham that was hunched over for all those years, 13, 18 years, I forget what it was, but it says, shouldn't she have been healed? That's what Jesus asked. And the religious people, of course, say, no. You know, he healed her anyway. In fact, you notice Jesus usually waved this Sunday just to get them upset. Yeah, it was a Saturday. He probably came to him and said, could you come back tomorrow? I just really want to irritate the religious people. No, just kidding. He still does. He really, because they, you know, there Jesus doesn't heal. In fact, he didn't do much of anything except for make people's lives miserable. Come on. But, you know, I remember I was preaching and this lady came up and she was like early 30s, beautiful young lady, except for she had rheumatoid arthritis and she was crippled up real bad. And I was praying. I was going up and down the aisle. My wife was with me in this particular meeting. And she's my wife's a prayer warrior. She's a spiritual woman. And, you know, we were praying for people together. And I was about ready to lay hands on her. And my wife slapped my hand that way. And that was unusual for her. So I was kind of looking at her. My wife looks at me and said, don't touch her. She stares at that lady and she just says this. She said, are you willing to forgive him? She looks at her. She said, this is a spirit of infirmity. She said, if you're not willing to forgive him, you might as well sit down because you're not going to get healed. And you could hear her go, because you don't usually have that in the church. And when my wife said that, she looked at her, and my wife said, that happened when you were 5 years old. Over 25 years ago. The person's been dead for 20 years. God's given her all these words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Said, how long are you going to allow you've been crippled because you were a victim and decided to stay a victim? I said, are you willing to release him? And she began to say, no, I can't forgive. And my wife looked at her and said, that's a lie. I said, God's grace. Ask God to give you the grace to forgive. Jesus forgave you. He was a victim because of your sin. And I heard, we watched her say, God, I can't forgive, but I choose to forgive. God, help me forgive. Lord, I forgive him by faith. I forgive him. I forgive him. And the moment she began to say, I forgive him, she straightened right up. All the arthritis left, walked out of there whole and normal. We live in a whole different realm, church. God is a lot more powerful than we're allowing him to be. God wants you well. I want every one of you, just if you have some symptom in your body, let's begin to believe God. Let's believe. And if thank God if you've been partially healed, let's believe for the rest of it. Yes. You know, there are times, honestly, I'm guilty of this. Well, I can function on this level now. You know, I was really, when I couldn't walk at all, I was really kind of desperate with my faith. Okay, God, we got to get this thing done quickly. So then you get like 80% better. And many times we stop there because we're so grateful it's not as bad as it used to be. But why not get the 100%? Why not? Jesus paid for the 100%. Come on now. Why not every whit hole? Come on now. Why not? Why not get our flexibility back? Come on. Why not? Why not die a ripe old age? Come on. Whole and healthy and blessed. You know, does this make sense? See, God wants you well tonight. See, in order to fully preach the gospel, there has to be signs, wonders, and miracles. There has to be. That's the full gospel of Christ. You know, these signs shall follow them that believe. When you preach the kingdom of God, there should be signs following. There should be miracles. Everywhere you go, there should be evidence that you did. You said what God was saying, and he was watching over his word to perform it. Come on. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I read scriptures like, is there any sick among you? You know, in today's church, we might put it this way, is there any well among you? You know? But really, in those days, it was like, okay, is there anyone that's sick? Like, it's almost like, hey, there's so few sick people. Is there any sick among you? Come on. I believe the greatest healing revival is going to come right before Jesus returns. Just like when Israel left Egypt, there was not one feeble among them. I believe God's going to supernaturally quicken. And I believe we are going to at least have a season where the glory of a glorious church is not going to be a sick church. Come on now. A glorious church is not going to be a sick church. People are going to be shocked that you know, you're not experiencing what they're experiencing. That's what God said. He said, you're not, none of the diseases the Egyptians have. None of the diseases that the world are experiencing. What would happen if the world started recognizing, whoa, they're not experiencing any of this stuff? You think people might be running through our doors? What would happen if it was the norm, if when people came in a wheelchair, they walked out? I mean, what would happen? You know, I heard Oral Roberts say for years that healing was the dinner bell to salvation. How many of you understand when people see the miraculous, they want our God? My final closing, and then I'm going to pray for you. You know, my wife said, why don't you start in closing? I said, it wouldn't make it any shorter. That's a preacher thing, you know. It's just false hope for people. But, you know, I was preaching in prison, not because I actually was from the outside going in. But I was preaching in prison. And that particular time, it was family day where they allowed people from the outside, some of the family members, to come in. It was, I do death row, I do maximum security, but this wasn't the maximum security. And when I went to preach there, a Muslim man came in, and everyone knew him as almost hated the Christians there. And he came in with his daughter. And I was preaching that nothing's impossible him that believes. And he carries the girl up to me, and she's gasping for breath. And this is what he said to me. He said, you talk about how strong your God is. So my daughter has asthma, and she has one lung. She's having an attack right now. I want to see what your God can do with this. I pull back. I always question. I said, God, what do we do? He said, just pray for her and release my healing power. So, I mean, I actually held her in my arms. She wasn't even a tiny girl, but I just held her because I wanted to get her, the anointing rubbing off on her. And I began to weep. And I said, Jesus, show yourself strong. Show yourself strong. I release the healing virtue into, Lord, I pray for a creative miracle. God, I'm not only asking you to stop the asthma attack, just give her back another lung. And I began to weep. And while I began to weep, and I just felt the compassion of God, she stops wheezing. She stops struggling. She jumps out of my arms. And she's jumping up and down saying, Daddy, I can breathe. Daddy, I can breathe. And while she's jumping up and down, here's this a Muslim man who is anti-Christian falling on his face saying, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. See, I think the whole world is waiting for a believing church. Come on now, waiting for a believing church. Why not be believing believers? Why not? I mean, people say, well, what happens if you believe and it doesn't work? Then believe for the next one.
Yes.
Because honestly, you keep believing, you're going to begin to see more and more and more and more. Why not develop an atmosphere where people come and say, this is a miracle church. This is a church where the miraculous happens. This is a church where, you know, the sick can come and be healed. This is a church where the same Jesus is manifest in our midst. This is a church. Come on. Tonight, if you need healing, I want every head bowed, no one looking around. That's the way we do it in America. I don't know why we do it that way, but we do. I go overseas. I never do that. Most times overseas, I've never had to give an altar call. I preach, and people, while I'm preaching, they actually charge the stage. And when enough of them charge the stage, we lead them in prayer. And because they've traveled for days, they don't leave. They just go back and hear the second part of the message until the next group charges. While you're preaching, you'll see people jump out of, you know, that have been crippled, get up and begin to walk. While you're preaching, you know, why? Because God just, you know, they really have no other answer but God.
Yeah, that's right.
Many times we figure we can rely on medical science, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we rely on it more than God, there is something wrong with that. Many times, because of the way we're functioning, we don't tap into the miraculous. But tonight's different. First thing I need to ask, is there anyone here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life and you need to? Maybe you've never asked him in. Maybe you walked away from need to come back home. Prodigal son was still a son, but he was away. He needed to come home. The father had a place setting at the table for him. Father didn't forget about him. But the father couldn't chase him down, because what I found out about God is he will not force himself on you. He waits for you to make a decision, because he already has made the decision. He loves you. And he wants to help you, but you're going to have to be willing to want his help. Is there anyone here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or you walked away? That's you. Raise your hand, anybody. Everybody know you're okay? How many of you tonight need a healing in your body? The Bible says lay hands on the sick. I'm expecting people to recover tonight. I'm expecting healing tonight. I don't want you to come up just for prayer. I want you to come up for a healing. I want you to come up and expect to make contact. You may use me as a point of contact, but it's God. God is the one who heals. You know, let's come to Jesus tonight. Come to the healer tonight. The healer is in the house tonight. Come on now. Let him. Sometimes our body needs, you know, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, but some like our natural houses need repair. Sometimes our body needs repair. And God said, I even got some spare parts. If you have a part that's worn out, I've got a spare part. I've seen God do so many creative miracles. I've seen heart transplants in the prayer line, where someone went in for an open heart surgery and they closed them back up because they already had a new heart. God is God. If you want healing tonight, this is what we taught them with. Yeah, I'm believing God to manifest his presence. You know? But I'm asking you to come believe in the report of the Lord that by his stripes you were healed.
Amen.
By his stripes. If you need a healing, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Start thanking him for your healing. Thank him for your healing. Thank him it's a done deal. Thank him that he paid for it already. Thank him that you thank him. That he is the healer. He is the Lord that healeth thee.